Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dudes and Beer podcast, episode 269 tonight. I am Chris Jordan, your host. Our guest this evening, the great, the amazing Archbishop James Cloud, exorcist in the Order of St. Michael the Archangel. We will be talking with him about the concept of COVID-19 and demonic oppression. That's a little bit different than demonic possession, folks. Definitely different than demonic obsession. We'll be getting into all of these things with him this evening. Please do not forget that Dudes and Beer is now officially brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. If you're a fan of podcasting like I am, want to make your own podcast for friends, family, business, fun, whatever, stop on by PodcastCadet.com today. They are your one-stop shop. They give you one-on-one personal consultation time with everything from engineers to teach you the tech to designers, branding people, folks to help you with distribution, folks to help you with monetization, everything from the ground up. Stop on by today. PodcastCadet.com is the website. The coupon code is DUDES20 to save 20% on your way out the door. Once again, our guest tonight, Archbishop James Cloud. We've got something that we did a while back for him, and I really want to replay it because it's our Ask Alexa segment that we had going for a little while. But this one's really great. It starts going into some of what demonic possession is, demonic obsession, things like that. And it'll be a nice little primer for the first couple minutes just to kind of get us into the idea of what we'll be talking about this evening. And how it relates to COVID-19. Let's check it out.
Alexa, what is demonology?
The noun demonology is usually defined as belief in demons.
Alexa, what is a demon?
A demon is a supernatural and often malevolent being prevalent historically in religion, occultism, literature, fiction, mythology, and folklore, as well as in media such as comics, video games, movies, and television series. The original Greek word daimon does not carry negative connotations. The ancient Greek word delta alpha mu omega nu daimon denotes a spirit or divine power, much like the Latin genius or numen.
Alexa, what is demonic possession?
Demonic possession refers to the state of one being controlled, either directly or indirectly, by a supernatural force, commonly of satanic origins.
Alexa, what is the rite of exorcism?
Here's something I found from the article Exorcism on Wikipedia. The rite of exorcism centers chiefly around driving out demons with prayers and contempt and includes the Apostles' Creed and Our Father.
Alexa, what happens to people who are possessed?
Here's something I found from the article Spirit Possession on Wikipedia. Most people who are possessed by the spirit describe the onset as a feeling of blackness or energy flowing through their body as if they were being electrocuted.
Alexa, what happens to people who have been possessed by a demon?
Here's something I found from the article Exorcism in Christianity on Wikipedia. In general, people considered to be possessed are not regarded as evil in themselves, nor wholly responsible for their actions, because possession is considered to be unwilling manipulation by a demon resulting in harm to self or others.
Alexa, what is the difference between demonic possession and demonic obsession?
This might answer your question. Demonic possession refers to the state of one being controlled, either directly or indirectly, by a supernatural force, commonly of satanic origins. Symptoms of demonic possession commonly claimed by believers include missing memories, altered personalities, convulsions, fainting, and spastic hand movements.
Alexa, how do you become an exorcist?
Sorry, I'm not sure. You have What Is My Unicorn Doing? Enabled. Do you want to open it?
Yes.
Your unicorn is having her tail neatly plaited by Tree Nim.
And that's still one of my favorite things is that whenever Alexa gets confused, she just starts talking gibberish. But welcome to the show, Archbishop James Cloud. How are you doing, Eminence?
I am doing well.
Welcome
and
back.
And then just enjoying life.
Good, good. And, you know, that's so reassuring to hear in this crazed time of COVID-19, everything else going on in our society. Fact that you're calm, you're cool, you're collected, you know, that's really the mentality that we all have to try to keep. And we'll be getting into that. And precisely why that is so important in relation to our topic tonight. Just to give you all a little background, Archbishop Cloud is the author of Walking with Ghosts, an exorcist memoir of the paranormal. He is an active paranormal investigator. He is also host of the upcoming show Exorcist Journey on the Spirit Realm Network. How long have you been an active in the field exorcist?
Well, I've been active in that ministry since the age of 18 when I assisted my own father in it. And I'm 47 now. So that many years.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, it's interesting because not many people realize the fact that, deliverance is in and of itself a ministry.
Absolutely.
It is a calling in and of itself to go into this realm and to fight these daily spiritual battles alongside other people. And that's really what exorcism in a nutshell is you being there with the person, with the family, helping them fight.
Absolutely.
Now, let's start getting into a little bit of what demonic possession is and what comes before that. Because, of course, everybody jumps to the concept of demonic possession, like, immediately whenever you start talking about obsession or even oppression. And oppression is, like I said in the intro to the show in our social media blurb and stuff, it's one of those that just because you don't believe it don't mean it can't happen to you.
Absolutely. There's no basis on whether it happens to you or not. Like whether you believe an asteroid is going to hit your butt doesn't mean it's not coming right for you.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's hard to explain to a lot of people because you can really kind of, at least in some realms, I know that you're going to make the hard stop and say, no, you really can't remove demons from evil. You really can't. And, like, that's true. But you can have an understanding of this without being a fully religious person, without even being somebody who is a fully churched Bible reader, you know, going out to church every Sunday. And you can still spiritually carry yourself and take care of yourself and your family as well.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on. I know, and I was trying so hard because I know you saw the articles as well about exorcists actively saying that there has been more spiritual oppression since the lockdowns began internationally.
Absolutely.
And I posted like two or three articles about it and could not find them. They were gone.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't find them online. I searched for like 2 hours yesterday, and my Google skills are pretty on point whenever it comes to like refinding a title or a headline, you know, or something that's going to make Google cue into what I saw before. And it just really tripped me out that I could not find it anywhere. But I did link a few articles in our in our promo post, one of them from Catholic San Francisco, where exorcists are talking about temptation, not possession, is the most significant demonic activity. And I think that is probably going to be closest, without finding those actual articles, I think that one is going to be closest to getting us where we're trying to go this evening. Because really, mm-hmm. really tonight is really a talk about energy level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not giving into the darkness. One of the things I kind of challenged people to, every year I give myself a spiritual challenge, and John 3:16 is a favorite. We're all very familiar with it. Even if you aren't Christian, you've seen people holding up signs at football games, baseball games, outside on the roadside, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And it goes into, you know, for God so loved the world that whoever believed in him shall not die but have eternal life. But I think the most important part is what comes later, up around 20, where it starts talking about the fact that man so loved the darkness that he refused the light.
Yeah.
And I think that's the situation that we are in right now, with this COVID, everything else going on. It's the fact of we are all so oppressed ourselves with not being able to live our lives the way that we normally do, that we are manifesting some of this oppression.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and
yeah, we go ahead.
I was going to say, let's start cracking that open a little bit and really get into how that affects us on a daily basis, spiritually.
Sure. Well, you know, the idea of sin. So sin, the old word for it is hamartia, which is actually an archery term. What it actually means is missing the mark. So in our lives, those places in our life, be it temptation, whatnot, where we miss the mark when we know we should have made a better choice, I'll just put it that way.
Mm.
It gives the opportunity for sin, usually leads to error at some level, which is another synonym for sin. And that, you know, it's spiritual error, mental,
sure,
emotional, whatnot, the way we treat others. And it all of that is amplified in this current climate of quarantine, COVID-19. There's no better example than my two kids. I mean, you know, they're around each other all the time, and they're pretty much wanting to choke each other out.
Yeah.
And
they're young.
And they're little, you know. Much less parents that are constantly having to break it up and dealing with each other.
Yeah.
You know, it leads to that inclination, you know, just choke everyone out or run away and go be a hermit in the mountains or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And
that all affords the opportunity to miss the mark in our life. And dark forces absolutely want to capitalize on that.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. And it's the fact that we kind of open ourselves up whenever we bring ourselves down in energy levels, so to speak. You know, whenever it's like, don't stoop to that level, literally, don't stoop to that level. And it's hard because right now, we're all on social media, like 24/7. We were on social media 24/7 before, but now we're really all on 24/7 social media. You got nothing better to do. You know, so you've been seeing reports all over the place of the nightmare, for people in abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Be they physically or mentally abusive, and what that has been like to be locked up without reprieve from that.
Yeah.
You got to think about that with children as well. If they're in an Absolutely. Abusive household of any kind, and all these things, like you're saying, open you up because of the fact that they weaken you. They literally just tire you out. They open you up from the side door. And we've had the conversation before where demonic possession in and of itself, like most of the time, it's been invited somehow. Somebody has been tinkering with stuff, playing with things, maybe went into a hardcore drug addiction, and things went from there. But they were doing things that were typically not them to begin with. And, you know, much like the vampire can't get in without you inviting him, the demon needs some kind of invitation as well, either by you or somebody by proxy. And we had a great question, actually, after the last show. Somebody actually dialed into the website and left a great message. And they wanted to know, they are Orthodox Jew. And they were like, what kind of exposure do I have to these things? Does it make a difference? And that's kind of what we're talking about here, is that it doesn't really matter if you believe in God or not.
Correct. Yeah.
have all the cases of exorcism that you have performed been Christian people?
Probably only about 50%.
Oh, okay.
If they didn't have a belief in God or the devil or anything like that before, they usually come out of it believing.
They got a different perspective.
Because there's no other explanation.
Yeah. I mean, there's what else are you going to, like, you don't even have that means in your vocabulary to explain the experience that you just went through.
No.
So, other than that. You know, and it's interesting. I've always, whenever I've got you on, I've always got my Roman ritual open here next to me. And I was going over some of the rubrics, just the general 21 things to look at as the exorcist when going into a case.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was actually asking the spirit if they had been brought to this person by force, if they had been brought to them by the ingestion of any amulet, things like that. And as many times as I have read this right, backward and forward, I don't think I ever remember seeing that part. And you know, that's one of the cases where, somebody could, through necromancy, some other means, infest you with something. But aside from that, it's basically going to take your involvement for it to get to that point. But that does not mean that you cannot be spiritually oppressed or obsessed during that time. So, and that's what we're talking about here, that spiritual oppression, that's a little bit different. Let's start digging into that a little bit and the concept of spiritual oppression.
Yeah. So demonic oppression can happen to most anyone, whether they've played with anything or not, because these things are predators. You know, a person might already have depression, because I'm also a mental health therapist, so
sure.
A person might be dealing with a mental health disorder or just going through a rough patch, and these things are predators, and so they look for someone that might already have something going on with them, just like a lioness out on the Serengeti. You know, they look for either the baby, oxen or whatnot.
Yeah, they look for the sick and the weak.
Or the old that can't really run too fast because their body's not doing too slick. And so, you know, the easier meal. They're not going to go for one that doesn't have anything going on. Mm. And these things do work in the same way. So in oppression, most of the time, people haven't even brought it on. But it messes with their mind, their emotions, how they perceive the world around them. Usually it's in a very negative, through a very negative lens. And so they're always down or angry, and they have no reason to be angry. And these things just invoke it more because it drives that wedge between natural supports and themselves.
Yeah, and it even gets to the point, like you're saying, as a mental health professional as well, where it starts driving a wedge between your support network of family. And frequently it's the case, you know, the first few things in the Roman ritual, just so you all know, folks, is have they sought medical attention? Have you made sure that this is not a case of extreme melancholy? Have you made sure that there's nothing going on, you know, medically first? There's also prescription for there being a physician on site to administer any medication, things like that, should that be necessary during the rite. And it's always interesting to me to go through and read those prior prescriptions in the rite just to see the things that you're supposed to be looking for to begin with, and that you should be trying to eliminate. And as a mental health professional, you know, you definitely see a lot of these regularly. And I'm sure, especially now, with the situation that's going on, we're going to see a lot more PTSD cases, things like that going on, simply because people are perhaps not necessarily able to go see their mental health professional. Like we said, perhaps they're locked inside with an abuser, something along those lines. God bless them. So, and like you were saying, to the oppression comes with the negativity, and being negative, negative, negative. It really, and there's numerous studies out there, if you want to just start going into the medical end of things, that talk about how that leads to depression, that leads to medical issues, things like that as well. But
absolutely,
it definitely opens the door spiritually, and kind of leaves a door open. And like we're saying, whether you're a person of faith or not, doesn't necessarily mean that spiritual beings are not there, that these energies and entities are not there to take advantage of you and your situation. So it really is a case of trying to keep yourself positive amidst the madness. And, you know, therapists all over the country have been saying that we're going to see more and more cases of rage building up. We've definitely started seeing a few random shootings, where it's literally as simple as somebody saying, put a mask on, and then they shoot them. This state of almost madness has started setting in amongst society. And like you were saying, the way that negative energy really kind of starts driving a wedge between the person and their support network, I think this is really kind of starting to drive a wedge in us as a society, as a humanity. So
it really is. You know, one of the problems that I've seen recently has been the family discord, or the family dissolution, as you would think, you know, family getting together, taking care of kids, might have a potential for being a nurturing time, time to spend more time with the kids because you're not always at the work and, you know, having quality time with everyone. But unfortunately, in American society, we've denigrated the family unit for so long that now it's a conglomeration of individuals with no sense of family cohesion. And you look at other countries, Africa, China, Italy. One of the biggest reasons Italy was hit so hard with the COVID-19 is the older generation lives with the younger generation there.
Yeah.
Because they do have a family cohesion.
And even if they don't live with you, guaranteed you're seeing them at Sunday dinner.
Sure.
Like you're at least seeing them once a week for dinner. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
You know?
Even if, you know, I'm part Italian too, and, you know, Italians are known to be loud and demonstrative with hand gestures and everything else, and they still get along. You might disagree, but at least, you know, you still get along. You still understand, you know, it's family. Nothing comes between family, but unfortunately, in American society, it's very much the norm to... parents take separate vacations from each other.
Yeah, yeah. It's normal to call in the napalm strike on the bridge you're standing on.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, just to be like, I am done with all this, and just light it all up as you walk out the door. You know?
Yeah, have a scorched earth campaign.
Yeah, yeah. And it's true. It's true, sadly. That we mm-hmm. we have kind of, and it's been interesting to see that dynamic kind of work in my neighborhood, because yeah, definitely, there has been more activity in the neighborhood because people are home, you know.
Sure.
There's more conversation over fence lines, more people talking, waving, saying hi, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, within certain ethnic communities in my neighborhood, there is the typical Saturday evening that happens regardless, with like 20, 30 people in the backyard. And even my wife and I were like, you know, it doesn't anger us. It worries us for them because they're our neighbors, you know, like we hold no ill will against them. They can be a little rowdy sometimes, but okay. You know, no worries. It's more the fact that, like, man, y'all are older people, like in the beginning of your 60s, you got kids living there and y'all are having like 20 people over there hanging out every week. You try not to dwell on it. And that's something that I've been trying to tell my wife, father, is that we need to not dwell on the negative. There is something to being informed. You know me as well as anyone. You're on the Dudes and Beer group. I post regularly, frequently. It's important to be informed, but you cannot let that rule the way that you feel inside. You know, you can't let that take root. You cannot let that anger, that angst toward your fellow man and whatever they just said that may have been stupid. Hey, man, we all woke up in America this morning. We all have the right to be stupid.
Yes, we do.
That's our God-given right to make a stupid decision today. You know, it really is like, what can we do to one of the other listeners, Georgia Kelly, asked the other day because I posted a thing like, anybody got questions? And she was like, what can we do to protect ourselves in this time?
Sure.
Believer or not, what can we do to kind of, I guess, lift our energy, you know, to keep our eyes away from the gutter, so to speak, whenever we're talking to our fellow man online, things like that. Like what can we do to kind of shield ourselves from this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is stop seeing each other as potential enemies. You know, the potential of, oh, well, they might have COVID, so, you know, I'm not going to talk to them. And if they try to talk to me, you know, I'm going to snap at them and whatnot. I mean, I've seen those news articles coming out that they've gotten in fist fights because someone was closer than 6 feet. I mean, for God's sake, you know, there's places that you can't help but be closer than 6 feet.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we're getting all of this input from social media or the news or politicians or whatnot that everyone's a potential carrier. And, you know, it's like people almost act like that we're in a zombie apocalypse rather than, you know, just being taking precautions. You know, one of the best ways to protect yourself from oppression is to solidify relationships, you know, rely on your natural supports, you know, do the opposite, not necessarily, you know, congregate in a group of 30 per se, but, you know, build up those relationships, those natural supports in your life so that you're not feeling so alone and distant.
Yeah.
Because in possessions, I mean, if it's progressed to that point, one of the prime tactics these forces use is to separate a person into their own world away from their natural supports, keep them alone so that they can then continue to poison the mind until the mind fully succumbs.
Yeah.
So really the best protection, whether you're religious or not, is to reinforce, build up, and seek out your natural supports as listening posts, as, you know, whatever.
Yeah, precisely. Really, like you said, going the opposite direction instead of isolating yourself, like, hey, man, start up a once a week Zoom hangout.
Absolutely.
You know,
watch a movie together. Do a watch party.
I was just thinking that the other day, like, it's a private Zoom chat. So technically, as long as you're not sharing that around with a bunch of people, you know, like, you could absolutely, you know, rig it up to where you got your screen share going on of a movie.
Sure.
You could all be sitting there chatting, carrying on, doing your stuff, you know, hanging out. And even this last Mother's Day, you know, it's rough because, you know, we have days like Mother's Day. My son's birthday was just Monday. So, two back to back where it was like, these would normally be big, big family days for us, you know? Instead we went to Katie, we ordered some barbecue, went and picked it up, went to my mom's house, told my brother when we would be leaving so that he could come by and say hi later. You know, just because she's an older lady. She herself uses a CPAP, things like that, whenever she sleeps. So, you know, like she's in a zone. My son is in a zone. Things like that. We know we are not infected. So the least we can do, the best, is how we look at it. But it was also one of those, you know, like I told my wife, this trip is so important to her, like spiritually, to see her grandson right now after having been in the hospital. And even when she was in the hospital to, as you know, care for the sick. That is one of the corporal works of mercy, to care for the sick. So, to not be able to even go do that, you know, to just go sit and visit with her, to, you know, it was nice to be able to Zoom with her, but to be able to bring her clean clothes, things like that, for the couple weeks she was in there, you couldn't do those things. So, that makes it really hard. And I was like, this is really important. So it was really good to do that. I could see my mom's spirit lifted and could feel her energy change immediately. And I think that's something that we really need to focus on at this point in the game, is caring for ourselves. It sounds like the most selfish thing you can do, and it is. And it's the most beautifully selfish thing you can do.
Sure.
Because if you're not cared for, then your cup isn't filled to help fill other people's cups. You really got to do something to kind of keep it present of mind every day, to keep your energy shifted toward the positive, to not really dwell in the negative zone and bring yourself down an energy level to, like we were saying, literally bring yourself down to their level.
I think another big thing is to get out of the culture of fear. Because fear is the opposite of faith. If you're constantly in fear, you know, we make very poor choices when we're afraid. We get into the fight or flight kind of mindset, and it's about survival of the fittest at that point. But faith tells us that we can do this. We can get through this. We can have faith. If a person isn't religious, you know, they can have faith in each other that people are going to try to do the right thing most of the time. If you are a religious person, having faith that God's got it in control. You know, we don't always understand the things that happen, but at the end of the day, you know, kingdoms, you know, we read in the scriptures, kingdoms can't rise or fall without his command. So ultimately, faith is the thing that will push us through these things. Faith is the thing that will keep families together. You know, like the old saying, families that pray together stay together. Families that have, for the non-religious, families that have, heck, game time, where y'all gather, or for a meal, you know, to cook and have discussions. It seems like that's almost a lost art today, too.
Yeah.
To simply talk. It seems like it's...
And to talk without judgment.
Absolutely.
And that's really a lot of what this show is about, Father, is the concept of being able to have these hard discussions, being able to talk about topics that would typically make people uncomfortable to talk about. But we got to talk about them, man. We got to have the discussion. You got to be willing to put yourself out there, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's very, very important, I think, to in times like this, really keep an open mind, really keep an open heart. Like you were saying, trust. And trust is so hard for so many people.
Sure it is.
To trust that the dude next to you is going to do the right thing. You know, and I guess I'm going to ask you a really hard question right now, Father.
Okay.
Why would God even allow this to happen? Why would God even allow spiritual oppression? We are his sheep. We are his people, right? Like, why would he allow these dark forces to go Job on us, man? And to tease us and poke us and prod us with pestilence and locusts and all kinds of things. Why? It's that infernal question.
I will answer that with an analogy. So it's the analogy of a goldsmith. A goldsmith, in order to refine the gold, in order to make it pure, he or she has to increase the heat. So a reporter once asked a goldsmith, how do you know when the gold is refined? The goldsmith turned to the reporter and said, when I can see my reflection in it. Many times we go through very difficult things in life for those that are religious, because God wants to see his reflection in us. God gives us the opportunity to have his heart. So let's look at it this way. I went through a tough time quite a few years ago, and I thought to myself, how can I forgive this person for doing XYZ? How can I move past this anger and rage that I have for this person? And I heard a small, still voice, and he says, how many times have I forgiven you for all your stupid things?
Yeah.
And that broke me at that point.
Mm.
I thought, okay, the husband is to love his wife as Christ loves his church. So what does that mean? Well, Christ gave body, soul, everything for the well-being of those who believe. And he offered free forgiveness for anything in our past if we believe. And so in order for me at that time to reflect God, I had to come to a place where the forgiveness was there. It didn't mean I put myself back in a situation to get hurt or, you know, go back to a bad place. I simply made the choice to forgive, and it gave me freedom, and it gave me faith, a deeper faith to be able to move forward despite the situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God didn't wave a magic wand and make everything better. He waved his wand and gave me the opportunity to be a better person. And I think we go through a lot of this crap in life to have the opportunity to grow. Because I, as a therapist, I tell folks, you know, there's only really two phases in life, growth or stagnation.
Yep.
If you aren't growing, you're stagnating at some point in your life. It's decaying. It's eroding. Decay is a natural part of life.
Sure.
The earth itself decays, but it also has potential for growth. So we're also given that same opportunity. And it really boils down to our choices. Now, of course, you weigh in if you have a dark force or a demon messing with the mind and it, you know, pushing you deeper into the anger, resentment, unforgiveness, etc. You know, a person has to work extra hard to get out of that.
How do you recognize that that is what's happening to either yourself or a loved one?
It's hard to recognize. You know, is this person just having a bad day, or is there something else going on? Is it an underlying mental health issue going on? Mm. Or is it actually something beyond that? So it's... You know, I try to help people visualize the proverbial black cloud. If there's always this black cloud, always this cloud of negativity, or, you know, as you put it, low energy or whatnot, surrounding a person, you know, there could be a good chance that oppression is happening in this person's life.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. You know, people ask me, and I've been asked this a lot, you know, if God's good, why is there evil in the world? Well, because one, we're not robots. God gave us free will. But two, people make really bad and stupid choices, and regularly, others have to pay the consequences of those stupid choices. And unfortunately, you can't truly love someone unless you also have the ability to hate someone.
Mm.
So, the two are intertwined no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
In order to truly love, you have to be able to truly hate.
Yeah.
And so the core to evil is people. It's not God doing it. It's people. And same with the demonic.
Yeah, that's exactly why. That's exactly why I said in the promo post, like, why we are our own worst enemy. Because we are the ones that are opening the door for that. Through our actions, through our negative thinking, like you're saying, through thinking that somebody is our enemy just because of what they think or what they believe. Like, that is such an absolutely reductionist mentality. I'll call a spade. It is like two steps away from racism and bigotry and utter hate, which all roots itself in ignorance, which is straight up, like, it's the fact that you have been exposed to something that lets you change and you go, nah. That's ignorance,
yeah.
Folks.
It is.
And, you know, not to get, y'all know me, I'm much more spiritual than I am religious, but if you're going to get religious about it, that is the root of sin right there. Is ignorance, the fact that you are willfully turning yourself away. And like I said earlier, whenever you get to that latter part of the quote, that's the important part of the quote, is that we turned our eye off the prize. We turned our eye off the light. We chose the darkness because it was easier.
The darkness is always easier, and it feels good.
Yeah,
feels great. Doing what's right sometimes is the hardest damn thing that you can ever do.
It sucks. You get nothing out of it.
Yep.
Like, there's rarely any great reward for doing the right thing.
No, most of the time it gets you in trouble, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, it's not like you're going to get out of the trouble because you did the right thing. it's hard. It's hard to walk that line. It's hard to keep yourself positive and to think about the fact of having a positive mentality during all of this horror, and to try and keep some kind of spiritual root there that keeps you happy. If you're a church going folk, people, get to a virtual service, something like that. What are y'all doing right now with your flock?
Well,
have y'all just added more masses?
Zoom, talking on the phone, talking this and that, and meeting their needs whenever I can.
Yeah.
Really, that's the best you can do right now, given everything that's going on.
Yeah. And that's just it. It's such a challenge for everybody to adapt to this situation, to get things moving in a different way. It's hard for us not to be impacted when there is economic impact, when there is social impact, when there is obvious spiritual impact from the mass death and casualty. Against something that we have no cure for as of now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those, how do you keep hope in sight? What can people do to kind of, I guess, find some kind of solace amidst all this, Father, to, you know, relieve themselves a little bit?
Well, the biggest thing a person can do when they're feeling down, feeling, you know, disenfranchised or what, anything, feeling any type of negative thing is to, what can I do to help others? You know, that's always been one of the things that has worked time and time again. If a person is living their life in service to others and their fellow man, that inherently boosts the emotions, boosts, as you put it, the energy. It inherently gives life amidst death. I think when a person is solely focused on themselves and nothing else beyond that, that's when true suffering really sustains itself. In order to really give, you have to sometimes push beyond how the base emotions of it. You know, Mother Teresa, there were times she doubted her faith. There were times she had really down periods. But she kept serving the sick of Calcutta regardless of how she was feeling. And we all know she was a saint. Didn't mean that she constantly lived this happy life, that she was happy all the time, you know, spiritually fulfilled or whatnot. She served regardless of how her emotions wanted to dictate to her how to feel. And really, our emotions, to be controlled by emotion is a dangerous thing. Anyway, if we're always in this negative mindset, so one thing I've told clients in the past that I've worked with that can't seem to see anything good in life, et cetera, et cetera. I usually do an experiment with him. I talk about blue trucks and only blue trucks. I talk about, you know, I want you to go out of here today and I want you to go look for some blue trucks and, you know, just talking about blue trucks or a make of a truck or car or something. And, you know, almost 10 out of 10 of them, when I talk to them the next week, they go, my God, there's a lot of blue trucks out here. My God, there's a lot of that car. Well, it's not like they just magically appeared. They were always there.
Yeah, I didn't pay a bunch of people to go out and drive blue trucks around town, you know.
Exactly. They were always there. But
were you looking for them?
Yeah. And if a person is always looking for evidence that the world is evil, they're going to find it.
Yeah.
If they're looking for evidence that the world is good, they're going to find it.
Yeah.
It's really about the lens that you look through in life.
Yeah.
You know, people don't get it until they actually do the experiment and they're like, my God, well, what am I doing?
You know, and just to loop things back to the beginning of this conversation, Father, mm-hmm. I think that depressive quality, that looking for some kind of magic bullet, is what leads to the path of temptation. And
sure,
just to go back to what that Dominican priest was saying earlier, that is the most, and that was Francois d'Hermine, the most common manifestation of the demonic is temptation, which is far more significant than possession. Because like we were saying, that's the point that you are being oppressed when that temptation is there all the time. And it's prodding you and it's poking you and it's prodding you and it's poking you. And, you know, that temptation may very well be like typing that response on Facebook or Twitter, you know, or that temptation may very well be needing to get the last word in a conversation, you know, no different. Because, and like I've said numerous times over the last weeks, Father, and I hate saying it because it sounds cold. If it takes these horrible, horrible circumstances for our society to get back to a point of common empathy, where we actively care about the person across the fence line, doesn't matter what they believe.
Yeah.
You know, just because they're our neighbor, What happened? Not like, yeah, I saw an ambulance. What happened? I don't know.
Yeah.
How often does that happen in your life, folks, where you see an ambulance and it's like two houses down from you and do you actively go find out what happened? Like, that's your neighbor.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it takes this horrible circumstance to catalyze us to care about each other once again as a society, you know, okay. I hate saying that because people have died, and I don't want to diminish people's death. But we really do, as a whole, as a people, need to start getting back to a point of common empathy, to a point where doesn't matter what somebody believes, I care about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that goes hand in hand, you know, with Christ's parable of the Good Samaritan. Mm. You know, the religious walked by the Pharisees of the time, and they're like, no, he's unclean, he's this, he's that, he's a Samaritan. Yeah. You know, he's this filthy person, he's this, he's that. The legal people walked by, thought the same thing, everything like that. And finally, the Samaritan stopped and simply saw this as a person that was suffering and thought, hey, let's go get you cleaned up. Let's get you a hotel room. Let's do what we need to do to get you back on your feet and to, you know, nurse you back to health. And there was no other qualifying feature for the person that had been beaten and was laying on the side of the road other than it was a person, a human being in pain.
That's right.
And, you know, I think we all struggle with, at some level, prejudices, ideas, especially in this country, if you're a Democrat or Republican, you know, you hate the other person because of XYZ.
Yeah.
And so that drives a wedge. And then you got COVID, and everyone's a potential carrier, so that drives a wedge. Your family members are pains in the butt, so that drives a wedge. And, you know, it goes on and on and on from the macro level down to the micro level.
Mm.
And at some point, you're absolutely right, we have to say enough. We're all human beings. We're all worthy of care and concern, despite whatever label anyone might have put on us.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to agree with that person. You don't have to, you know, co-sign their stuff. But at some level, they're still just a human being.
That's right.
And that's really what tolerance is about. It's not co-signing everyone's stuff.
Yeah.
It is seeing them as a valued person despite what any preconceived labels might be on them.
Yeah, and just literally not rushing to judgment.
Sure.
You know, giving people the benefit of the doubt that they aren't personally trying to do something to get one over on you, things like that. And it's strange where our society has come to so rapidly over the last many years, with social media and the true social distancing that caused, the beginnings of the lack of empathy that we see now, where, people say hurtful things. Very, very hurtful things, and have like zero, like, what? It's like you have to answer for that somehow, you know.
Sure. I call them armchair commandos. You know, they get behind a video screen and think, well, I don't have to look at them face to face. I'll just read them the riot act in one way or another. And
that's still not cool.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. It's not coming at things as from a point of understanding. Like, we don't all have exposure to the same things. We don't all have the same mentality. We don't all look at the world through the same lens and the same filters, man. We just don't.
We don't.
Our filter is truly individual compared to the traumas we've been through in life, the choices we've made in life, the choices that have been put upon us in life.
Yeah.
So, like, to not understand that, to not grasp that, is hard. And I guess that's where it comes to, as they would say in the scriptures, being soft and supple like the willow.
For being wise as a serpent but harmless as a dove.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, really just kind of doing that, you do you, man. Like, you know, we really cannot focus on the negative. We can't dwell on the negative. We cannot let that rule the day. We can't live in a constant state of fear and panic. It physically is not good for us. It mentally is not good for us.
No.
And when those two things are worn down, that's when the spiritual starts wearing down.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show, as always, to break this stuff down for everyone. I really, really appreciate it, Father. I think it's really important that we all kind of take a few steps back during times like this and really try to understand where everybody is coming from as an individual, why people believe what they believe. Care about that again, folks. It's important. Let everybody know. I mean, of course, they can get your amazing book, Walking with Ghosts, an exorcist memoir of the paranormal, right at dudesandbeer.com in the Dudes and Beer store. But where will they be able to go to check out Exorcist Journey, your upcoming show? When does that launch? Where will they be able to go check it all out?
Sure. Well, I have a Facebook page called The Exorcist Journey. And it ties in not only the Order of St. Michael, but also the Advent Order of Exorcists that I'm superior of. My live stream will be a weekly show on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Nice.
And I also plan to do impromptu coffee talks during the week to simply literally have some coffee, field questions, have conversations with folks. Cool. Just to check in, see how folks are doing. Just to really have coffee and chill.
Yeah.
So definitely it's on the Spirit Realm Network, along with a variety of shows. And the producers and whatnot are going to be having all these cool graphics and stuff that I have no concept of.
I can't wait to see what happens.
Like I've told folks in the past, when I do, you know, like Travel Channel or something like that, I tell folks, I'm just the guy that shows up and does his part, and then everyone else takes care of everything else.
It's a pretty big part you're doing most of the time whenever you're showing up.
I just honestly don't see myself as that whoopee-doo.
Well, and you know, there's good reason for that. That is a big part of that first part of the right is the qualities that the priest should have, and then the exorcist should have, and pride is not one of them, Father.
It is
not one of them that's listed. Where it's like he should be a proud man, and you know, take great joy in what he does. The only joy you take is in the deliverance you give.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful, beautiful joy.
Well, even Christ said, don't take joy that the demons are subject unto you, but take joy that your name's written in the book of life.
That's right.
And it's just a matter of, I just do what I do, try to help folks, and people are going to think what they're going to think. So,
well, you are always welcome on this show. Thank you for always coming on, taking the time to break these things down to our audience, to help give them a little bit of comfort in moments like this, a little bit of something to, a little bit of meat to chew on during the next part of our lockdown in many states, whether you're doing it because your state is demanding it or you're doing it by choice. Please do hold the line real quick while we close things out. And while you're online checking out Archbishop James Cloud, checking out his book, Walking with Ghosts, an Exorcist Memoir of the Paranormal, make sure to stop on by his Facebook page, The Exorcist Journey. Like him, support him. Check out his upcoming show on Spirit Realm Network. Make sure while you're online checking all that out that you do stop on by dudesandbeer.com. That is where you can check out all the episodes. We will soon be having transcripts of everything up. So for all of you hard of hearing or just want to read it, there it is. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.